From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
As we approach fair weather, as we enter maiden endeavor, round us still the chorus beats.
Nellie Mackay is a time tripper. She may take aim and knock heads like Eminem, but she sings like Doris Day and dresses like Garbo. Critics love her witty, Broadway punk jazz pre-rock pop sound, but watch out if you're on her bad side. The lady is an activist. This hour on Point, the 40s, the 50s, and the right now with Nellie Mackay. You can join the conversation. Would you like a little 1940s and 1950s with your music, your life right now? Have you found it yet? With Nellie Mackay. We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Joining me now from New York is Nellie Mackay. She's a sensation on the New York club circuit, headed out again on national tour right now. She cut her first album, Get Away From Me, with Columbia Records when she was just out of her teens. The New York Times calls her a sly and articulate musician. The Washington Post raved, "This supremely gifted, charming, and darkly funny New York oddball has all the makings of the first great singer-songwriter of the young century." Her third and latest CD, Obligatory Villagers, hits stores next week. Nellie Mackay, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Tom.
So, why do you carry these decades all over you? In your clothes, in your songs, in your lyrics, in your kind of attitude. What puts you in the 50s and 40s?
Oh, my personal time machine. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I guess I'm just weird.
Always? Were you as a kid? Did you grow up in a different time zone from the rest of your pals?
Oh yeah. Well, especially as a kid, I cover it up better now.
Cover it up better, but not so covered up. I mean, it's right out there. Doris Day's your hero. The Peggy Lee with attitude, they called you. It's not exactly a secret, is it?
Oh, well, yes, but I don't read any of those things.
Okay, Garbo. Have you got a guitar? Could you play a little for us today? We'd love to hear what you've got to bring, Nellie Mackay.
Oh, definitely. So that's what you like first is the uke song.
If you've got something, I think you could sing, off the new album, there's something called Gin Rubby, Rummy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's do that.
Sure.
Wake up in a small cafe, sweatshop in the sunshine, set sail and you're far away, never using force. Cold coffee or Cabernet, brick up in the daydream, shoe drops and you're bound to pay, gotta stay the course. You just want to give, you don't want to get, you may forget but you'll never forgive, and what is the point of live and let live if they're stealing your cup of joe? It's a slick sham, hot damn, you wind up in a toe jam, you better scram fast, Sam, the quicksand's getting close. Such thing as good press, the best dressed messer in Washington, D.C. Ooh, say it again if you will. Ooh, have you got the nerve to give it up at the beginning? And does it hurt you? Does it hurt you? Does it hurt you? Does it hurt you?
Nellie Mackay singing Gin Rummy from her new album Obligatory Villagers. Thanks, Nellie.
Oh, thank you.
It's nice of you to hit those high notes for us this time of day.
Oh, it's it's difficult
it.
At any time of day, I'm afraid.
Doris Day is your big hero. You wrote about her not so long ago when you were reviewing Tom Santopietro's new book about her. Talk to us about Doris Day. Of all people, what attracts you to her?
Oh, well, you know, she's got such a sunny and accessible and carefree disposition, and yet she fights for, you know, the least powerful beings on the planet, which is the animals. For someone who I think is associated with quite a conservative era, she's really involved herself with pretty
she's
much
a big animal rights advocate.
Rights
advocacy is a big thing of Doris Day's.
Yeah. She has the Doris Day Animal League, which just merged with the Humane Society, so it's even more powerful now, and the Doris Day Animal Foundation.
And we know that's a giant interest and cause of yours as well, and we'll talk about it, but I wonder about, I mean, you write, and who doesn't remember who was there? You know, those weren't tough times. She was singing through McCarthyism and Cold War, and yet she brought this tone, this image of optimism and cheery respectability in so much of her work. Why do you think that worked then? You know, why was it welcome instead of weird, and will it still work today, does it?
Oh, I think certain things are timeless, and I think certain of her movies stand, and certainly her persona. But I mean, her recording career is. I mean, there are things there that they're just as fresh and beautiful today as they were when she recorded them.
You picked up on that vein and a lot of others. I mean, the critics just love to come in and compare you with just about the biggest universe of singers I've ever seen listed around one singer. Everybody from, Peggy Lee and Doris Day to Randy Newman and Billy Strayhorn and Dinah Shore, Sinatra, Elvis Costello. I mean, they throw everything in the kitchen sink at the wall when they come to describe you. How do you describe yourself if you're letting people know what to expect from a Nellie Mackay concert?
I don't know. Just shelve your expectations and, you know, try to have a good time and forget that I'm there, you know. If you can just have a good time, then, you know, you'll associate it with me, and then That's great. I won't have to worry about, you know, you listening, which is always an undue pressure on a performer. and you know, you won't have to worry about liking what you hear.
Where did you first get your best audience? When you first started getting out of the shower, the bedroom, the house, and out into public performance, who picked you up? Mm.
Oh, my. I don't know. Foolish bar owners who would give me jobs, and then, my parents would come see me, and they told me my dog had, I think, 2 months left to live, and I started bawling at the piano in the middle of these foolish things, the owners would rightly, you know, they would freak out. I don't know why people gave me jobs. I don't think I've found an audience, though. I mean, if I'm sneaking in, you know, to one of my shows, you know, and in kind of incognito before the show, I mean, I always think, who are these people? We have nothing in common, you know.
Can that really be true?
Oh, yes. I mean, think about a concert you go to. I mean, for instance, at a Dylan concert my mom went to, you know, he sings, started out on Burgundy, soon hit the harder stuff, and these frat boys went, yeah, like
Bobby.
It was a drinking song. I mean, you know, it's just, Just quit while you're ahead, Nellie.
Yeah. Nellie McKay, we're delighted to have you with us and delighted you're prepared to play a bit and sing a bit. We'll go out of this segment with Identity Theft from Nellie McKay's new album, Obligatory Villagers. You can join the conversation. Are you ready for some Broadway, punk, jazz, piano, time-tripping with Nellie McKay? Are you a fan or new to Nellie McKay? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Nellie, please stand by. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
I don't see why I got
to. You need a boss to please.
Blah, 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 you're late. Jackety yak, don't look whack, Nellie, you're a heart attack. Murder, murder on the wall, who's the butchest one of all?
Where do you get that big address? A flea market?
Oops, I forgot, you design for
Target. Violence and religion, don't ever play with guns. But I punched a man on Broadway just to watch him cry.
Every guy I went to try, said to fight him, but I can't think why. Bent and hinged and singed, like Christian washed the main event. But in the end, there's no success like revenge.
Ooh, Lisa Burrough. Ooh, identity theft.
I may be wrong, I don't know why. I may be wrong, but I'll try.
Because I'm tired of hypocrisy. Is it them or is it me? Jesus Christ is left in ruins. Satan, buddy, how you doing? Hold him up, it's the street arrest. And we're dealing with identity theft. Because I'm tired of being sweet and nice. You want to see me cry? Show your passport, take that stamp. Funny like a Nazi camp. Hold him up, hell yeah.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Singer-songwriter Nellie McKay is here with us from New York, the city where she became the talk of Manhattan's club scene. Here's Overture from her new CD, Obligatory Villagers.
Have you got some time? Have you got some spine? Have you got something to begin with? Or are you in a sandwich? Have you got some nerve? Have you got some verve? Have you got something to depend on? Or do you fend or bend on? And if you say no, do you mean to go down below the earth with nothing? I got my name. And you got
We're talking this hour with Nellie McKay. She joins us from Carnegie Hall, Carnegie Hall Recording Studios. In New York, you can join the conversation. What do you make of an in-your-face, humorist, activist, 20-something singer in 2007 who channels Doris Day, Peggy Lee with attitude? Does that get you going or just mess with your head? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Nellie, let me begin to bring in our listeners. Jean's calling from Raleigh, Massachusetts. Jean, you're on the air with Nellie McKay.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Nellie. In that first song that Nellie played, I was reminded of some earlier pioneering women, Jean Sibbery, Kate Bush, and even Suzanne Vega. And Nellie, I just wondered if you are familiar with them and never listened to any of their music.
Nellie McKay.
I've done a couple of shows with Suzanne Vega, and I think she's an excellent performer. And of course, as a former dancer, she has incredible posture, which I'm very deeply envious of. But there's some terrific stuff out there, and I also love Carole King. The only one I haven't heard of those you mentioned was Jane Sibbery. But I always like to hear new things.
Talk to us about Jane Sibbery, Jean. Who is that? What did she record?
Pop artist that came out of I was actually a music undergrad in the mid 80s, and she was sort of coming up then, and I bet, you know, her stuff would hold up today as well as it did back then. She was very avant-garde, and but I think that her music would still hold up, and she's put out quite a few albums. She followed right in the footsteps of Kate Bush.
And what about Nellie? What you're hearing here today, what does it say to you, Jean? Is this a sound you're looking for, that kind of witty, sharp, biting, funny, and all over a couple of decades of music?
Yeah, well, it's definitely left of center, and I think there's a big population of kids now who are definitely looking for that and craving just something out of the, you know, sort of like regurgitated music industry stuff that, you know, is kind of spewed out over MTV, and not to be down on MTV, but, you know, just like she's definitely a little bit left of center, and there's always an audience for that.
Jean, thanks very much.
Please be down on MTV. You can't put MTV down enough.
Nellie, how about that big, bad industry we always hear about? You've had your own run-ins with it. Columbia, Sony picked you up very early, and you were out of there before you knew it. How do you look at that? You've got your own label today, Hungry Mouse, but how do you look at the biz?
I don't know. I wish I was still with Sony. I miss them so much. How do I look at the biz? I don't know. You just try not to think about it. I, you know, the biz has its own problems right now. I mean, talk about karma. But, a lot of people working there are people who, you know, care very deeply about art and politics and you know, philosophy, and unfortunately they're stuck working for the man, and you know they want to pay their rent. But in terms of MTV, I just think what pop culture has forced upon, you know, a couple of generations now of individuals, they have so much to answer for. I mean, every time somebody doesn't hold the door, or cuts in front of you, or it's just nasty, it's just that attitude thing, I just think, I really hate MTV.
Can we solve that by turning back the clock? Or is it the beginning of a solution? I mean, you're reaching back for a lot of influences there, obviously. You know, can you sort of bring something forward that got lost that way?
Well, I do think, I mean, nostalgia has its own problems because things were not pretty back when better manners were ingrained, because certainly those manners didn't apply to all people, all, you know, races and sexes and creeds and whatnot, but I do think there's a problem with change, is that you throw out the baby with the bathwater, and that there's no reason. I think that's why, you know, the '60s remained such an icon to us all, because it was really the bridge between two periods. When you look at activists of that time, they were extremely well spoken, and there was an idealism combined with. Respect for each other. I'm not really putting this well.
That's all right. There's a 25-year-old, you know, looking for that bridge. I mean, there's certainly a lot that's gone under it since the 1960s, and not all pretty. Jim's calling from Buffalo, New York. Jim, you're on the air with Nellie McKay.
Hello, Tom. Nellie. I got to say, this is the first time I heard this music, and I'm just blown away. I'm somewhat of an amateur musician myself, and I find myself in a similar, when I'm writing and so on, jumping around through different moods and so on. And I'm just floored by the way that, Nellie, you can walk through these different moods and styles of music and the poetry of it all. Just mind-boggling. It's excellent. And I was curious how you put all this music together. I mean, where does it come from? Do you have big bands behind you? Do you write all of it, some support, or it just flows out of your head, you know?
Nellie?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, you're there in Carnegie Hall today with a keyboard and a ukulele, but you've clearly got a lot more than that going on behind you on the CD.
Well, you know how you get to Carnegie Hall. Fake it, fake it, fake it. But, geez, I don't. Well, you know, you steal what you can, and then when you run out of things to steal, you know, you're thrown back on your own vices, basically. And then you avoid work as long as possible. And then if something comes of it, you try to self-sabotage as much as possible. And then my mother fixes it, and then you have a song.
But when you're in that work itself, I mean, I believe it's this album you went out to the Poconos for, found a bunch of terrific jazz musicians out there to back you up. There's a big sound behind you here.
Well, you know, they humored me and my raging ego all through high school, so I thought I owed them something. And they are just, just incredible. I mean, you know, listening to those cuts you played, as usual, the sound of my own voice gives me a headache. But the music itself, I always want to turn that up because, man, they're good.
You got Phil and Woods
if I,
and David Liebman.
If I wasn't
David
on radio, Liebman. I would say something other than man.
Yeah. Right. What about the arrangement? Do you do it? Do you do it with them? Do you sort of throw down, the stream of conscious lyrics, buff them up, and then do it with the gang backing you up or not?
Oh, no. I'd like you know, next album to make it more collaborative thing, like, you know, like the Basement Tapes, like try to just kind of make it all happen there. But no, these arrangements, you know, I was up all night before that day of recording with the big band. And there were some people out in the Poconos, Bob Durrell among them, who helped copy out stuff. We called him up that morning, and he wrote it straight out. He's he was real game. He was a real trooper, and I really appreciate that.
I want to get a sense, more sense of some of the politics that run through your song and the humor at the same time. You've got another on the new album, Obligatory Villagers, called Mother of Pearl. There's some back and forth on the album with male voices kind of taunting and joshing behind around.
We had a good time with that one.
Yeah, around a feminist message. Come on, let it go, lady, and that kind of thing. But can you play Mother of Pearl for us?
Sure. And I want to say those callers were very nice, too.
They always are.
Yeah. Feminists don't have a sense of humor. Feminists just want to be alone. Boo hoo hoo hoo. Feminists spread vicious lies and rumor. They have a tumor on their funny bone. They say child molestation isn't funny. Ha ha ha. Rape and degradation's just a crime. Lighten up, ladies. Rampant prostitution, sex for money. What's wrong with that? Can't these chicks do anything but whine? Dance break. Yeah, take it off. Objectification isn't witty, it's hot. Equal work and wages worth the fight. Sing us a new one. On demand abortion, every city. Okay, but no gun control. Won't these women never get alive? Feminists don't have a sense of humor. Poor Hillary. Feminists and vegetarians. Ha 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 ha. Feminists spread vicious lies and rumor. They're far too sensitive to ever be a ham. That's why these feminists just need to find a man. I'm Dennis Kucinich, and I approve this message.
Nellie MacKay with Mother of Pearl from her new album, Obligatory Villagers. And those feminists have a tumor on their funny bone, you know. They just need to find a man. Wow, that is fun. That's wonderful. George is calling from Marlborough, Massachusetts. George, you're on the air with Nellie MacKay.
Hi. I'm just curious about the politics of jazz, folk music always seems to be a little bit more than a little bit to the left. In this culture, a little bit to the left would perhaps be Richard Nixon. And I'm just wondering if Ms. MacKay has been influenced at all by Nina Simone or Betty Carter or people who were a little bit more than a little bit to the left.
Another couple of great names. Nellie, what do you say?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they're lovely, but yeah, you can always be a little more to the left. I just think, you know, both those musical forms, jazz and folk, they came from the people, and while they have been co-opted in one way or the other, I heard Working Class Hero is Muzak on the elevator the other day, and that kind of ruined my day. But you know, that they still have managed to survive in a pretty undiluted form. You know, considering how other stuff has been co-opted, you can't argue with so many of those songs.
George, thanks.
And those performers.
Thanks, and the politics are right front and center in Mother of Pearl. Mary Beth is calling from Norfolk, Virginia. Mary Beth, you're on the air with Nellie.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Nellie.
Hi.
Hey, Nellie, I work for In Defense of Animals in San Rafael, California. And yay. I just want to thank you, Nellie, for all you do for the voiceless. I was in the middle of reading a horrible published paper about baby monkeys being killed in nicotine experiments when I heard Tom announce you as today's guest. And Tom, I just, I'll get off now because I have a conference call, but how I wish I had the wisdom of Nellie Mackay when I was her age. I just think you are so wise beyond your years, Nellie, and this has made me want to pull out my two-disc CD. I can't wait to get your new stuff.
Mary Beth, that's great. Don't miss that call, by all means. We'll talk about your animal rights work, Nellie. Mary Beth?
Yeah, but I mean, she's in the trenches, man. I mean, you know, how people who live in that space. I mean, what you were just saying, talking about nicotine experiments, you know, I mean, to deal with that day in and day out, that takes a person of true character.
She talks about age. Sing Old Enough for us, if you would. It's off your earlier album, Pretty Little Head.
Yeah. Never thought I'd live to be old enough to be old enough to feel like this, and never thought I'd figure it out enough to be loud enough to make you listen. On and on the meadows sing, they ring out, merry the view. On and on my conscience bled and shared my longing for you. Never thought I'd live to be old enough to be bold enough to make a difference. Never thought I'd figure it out enough to be proud enough to take my mission. Never thought I'd live to be smart enough to have heart enough to find a better way. Never thought I'd live to be old enough to have soul enough to pass perdition. Never thought I'd count up the years enough to be clear enough on my convictions. Life ain't all it claims to be, it clings to me when it's blue. Life brought all its pain to me and shamed my longing for you. Never thought I'd live to be old enough to be told enough to lose the bullies. Never thought I was able to learn enough to be firm enough to live life fully. Never thought I'd live to be strong enough to be young enough to find a better song. Then you came along. Never thought I'd live to be old enough.
Nellie Mackay, she's 25 and she's singing it right now. Nellie, we've got a lot more people who want to talk with you and a lot more music to hear. Nellie joins us today from Carnegie Hall Recording Studios in New York. Her new album is Obligatory Villagers. You can join the conversation. What do you hear in the bag of tricks of Nellie Mackay? Are you up for the anger, the wit, the wordplay? Are you headed back to Celine Dion? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll go out with Galleon from her new album, the album of Nellie Mackay, Obligatory Villagers. We'll be right back.
It's Saturday night. Support for On Point comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The construction site offering girls and boys of all ages blocks and building toys, both domestic and imported, at constructiontoys.com. And McGuire Associates, committed to helping educational institutions achieve strategic success with insightful research and creative consulting. McGuireASSOC.com.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking with out-of-the-box satirical singer-songwriter Nellie Mackay.
Santa Maria, can you hear me? I've got no reason to live. They say I've been lucky, but it's all relative. Won't you make it easy? I've got to erase all the pain. They say it's behind me, but it keeps coming back.
Nellie Mackay there with Paula Tonn from her new album, Obligatory Villages. She channels Cole Porter and Doris Day, a little bit of Eminem and something Spanish there. She joined us today from Carnegie Hall Recording Studios in New York. You can join the conversation. Are you ready to go back to pre-rock pop, or is this the way forward? What do you say to Nellie Mackay? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Mike's calling from Boston. Hi, Mike. You're on the air with Nellie.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. Unfortunately, I have to step into a meeting very quickly. But I just wanted to say I've never heard this music before. I'm completely taken by it. As soon as I'm through with my meeting, I'm going to go buy every bit of it I can find.
And why? What is it? What is it?
Well, I just want to say that I think that her voice expresses, well, Nellie, your voice expresses everything I think that we're missing in life in America these days, everything we've lost. I'm just completely taken, and I just wanted to say that.
Mike, we love it. Nellie, that's pretty, everything we're missing, that's a lot you're carrying for us there.
Oh, man, I don't know who's paying these people, but keep it coming. It's lovely.
Mike, thanks. Let's get Mary from Norwell, Massachusetts. Mary, you're on the air.
Hello. Hello, Nellie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. I just wanted to say I am so pleased that things are going so well for you. I first heard you the first time when you were back on David Letterman.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Hey, hey,
the first
hey.
Time he didn't shake my hand on camera? Yeah, I remember.
Well, it was funny. I absolutely went bonkers over, I think you did maybe the dog song?
That's right, yeah.
And I was so crazy about it, I went looking for the CD over the next few days, couldn't find it, and thank God that is no longer the case.
What is it that brings you back to Nellie, Mary? What do you like about her music?
What do I like about it? Very simply, she has this incredibly sweet voice with these intelligent, biting lyrics, and it's a delight. I don't know anyone who contains that mixture, and it is such fun.
Oh, that's great. Mary, thanks. Nellie, why didn't Letterman shake your hand?
Thank you. Oh, I don't know what his problem is, but they always cut to commercial. I have a feeling it's a money thing, but I noticed certain artists, Ryan Adams, he always shows their handshake on TV.
But you were, what, a little too, I don't know.
Maybe I was a little too happy to shake his hand or something. I don't know.
Oh, boy, that's great.
Those callers, all the callers, they've been so nice. Don't you get any negative, argumentative?
We'll try and dig one up here. I mean,
Jesus,
we'll do our best at it.
Really, really sweet.
Yeah, if you're so great, why aren't you still on Columbia? What happened there?
I think they were threatened by my overwhelming arrogance. I don't know. I can't even remember what happened at this point. It's just always on to the next thing. I mean, that I still have far fewer problems with that Columbia than with Columbia University, you know.
Oh, where you go after the president, call him a big dumb doofus, Columbia University, which does some experiments on primates you're not happy about.
Yeah. The big dumb doofus came out of, I was talking about how you know, they always talk about the banality of evil, but evil goes beyond the banal. It's often, I mean, just buffoonish incompetence, and you just think, how can people mess with people's lives and you know, hurt animals so terribly, and you can't believe that you know, this is the person responsible for it, because they so often just don't seem worthy of the evil that is being done. Columbiacruelty.com is the website about the research that continues to go on there. But I believe at least one of the experiments has been ended since PETA began its campaign. And then the other group I've been working with is the Coalition to Preserve Community. And their website is stopcolumbia.org. And if anybody's out there who is in some way affiliated with the university, if you're alumni, you know, or if you're teachers, or if you know somebody who is, especially if you're a donor, they really pay attention to their donors. If you want to go to stopcolumbia.org and find out about what they're doing in West Harlem, planning on demolishing 17 acres and displacing thousands of people, and if you can make your voice heard and somehow join in that, because it's basically a battle for the heart and soul of Harlem. I mean, once they build this expanded campus,
Your turf. That's your home, Harlem. So this is your backyard.
Yeah, and it's already changing. I mean, for instance, they built condos across from a park up there, and the African drummers who have been there forever. I mean, when I grew up there, they were, you know, you love the African drummers in the park. The new people in the condo started complaining about the African drummers, so they moved the drummers. Which, I mean, that's the embodiment of Harlem. If you don't like African drummers, don't move up there, you know. And this whole thing with Columbia, they're trying to abuse eminent domain, in that eminent domain is supposed to be used very rarely for public purpose. And the government, like with the Atlantic Yards project, which just happened in Brooklyn, has been determining private property, confiscating that and selling it at for cheap to private, other private entities such as Columbia University for private use.
Right.
And you know, that's such an obvious abuse. And and they're not providing for affordable housing. They plan to build a biotech lab, which has all kinds of health concerns. They can test things like SARS and anthrax and West Nile virus there.
So, dear listeners, if you're missing the picture at all, well, you really can't. If Nellie McKay is on your case, she's really on your case, and she's all over that one. Nellie, may I take another call from Stamford, Connecticut? Al, you're on the air with Nellie McKay.
Well, hello, Nellie. I am a longtime fan. I first heard your music on the internet and downloaded all the free cuts when you were playing in various bars, and of course then went out and bought CDs. A little disappointed at some of the orchestrations on the professional CDs, because I liked your music, with your solo piano. But
you're a purist.
My question is your musicianship. I'm such a fan of your piano agility, your fast fingers, and your creation. How did you learn that? Could we have a little biography? And of course, your voice is wonderful, and I just find you totally fascinating in almost every way. I can't say every way, because I haven't seen you in every way.
Well, let's get a little biography, Al. Nellie, how about it? I mean, we'll get to the musicianship, but what, you're born in London, dad was British, took off pretty early, you and your mom in New York, and then, if I recall correctly, out in Olympia, Washington, then up in Pennsylvania, maybe near the Poconos, before you were back in Manhattan.
And some more gypsy stuff in between. Yeah, we traveled around in a Volkswagen bug, towing a Volkswagen bus, towing a Volkswagen bug with 9 cats and a dog who were not so happy about the situation. But
you ended up the Manhattan School of Music, but didn't stay that long. You sort of bolted.
Yeah. That's maybe. That's probably the right word. Although there's some, you know, wonderful teachers there. Again, it's that thing, you know, working for any institution. There are problems, and but you know, with music, I think it's really got. It can't be taught. It has to come from someplace else. I mean, it doesn't even matter what kind of music it. Something else makes it.
Let's just hear it. You've got a cut called Zombie on the new album. Would you play it for us?
Oh, yes. Should you plan to travel way down south? Whoa, woman to woman, I gotta tell you about a curse. A curse that rose out of the deep green swamp. Whoa, it hollers murder, and it makes you jump. And then it says, do the zombie, rah, 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 rah. Do the zombie, whoa, yeah, rah, rah, rah. Do the zombie, rah, 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 rah. Do the zombie, whoa, yeah. When I was younger, just a little girl, whoa, linen glasses and a ponytail, my mama told me, honey, pack your trunk, we're going to Mississippi, do the bayou bump, where they say, do the zombie, rah, 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 do the zombie, whoa, yeah, rah, 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 do the zombie, rah, 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 do the zombie, whoa, yeah. One day I set out for a walk. The path soon grew quite dark. I saw my shadow running faster. Hurry, slow-mo, coming after me. After me. And it said, do the zombie. Do the zombie, whoa, yeah. Do the zombie, do the zombie, whoa, yeah. And zombie don't have to dance, and zombie don't dance at your command, but zombie don't have to wait. So come on, come on, do the voodoo shake, do the zombie, do the zombie. One day I set out for a walk. The path soon grew quite dark. I saw my shadow running faster. Hurry, slow-mo, coming after me. After me. And it said, do the zombie. Do the zombie, whoa, yeah. Rah, rah, rah. Do the zombie. Rah, rah. Do the zombie, whoa, yeah. The sun is shining and you're feeling fine. Whoa, as you pass the Mason-Dixie line. Uh-huh. The forest echoes and the tree leaves snap. Hey, what's that sound? Spin around. Who dat? Then they say, do the zombie, rawr, do the zombie, whoa, yeah, rawr, 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 do the zombie, rawr, do the zombie, whoa, yeah. What do we do there? What do we feel? Come on, torches, no big deal. Must escape the vicious nexus. Wonder what Brecht ate for breakfast. I don't hear them. I don't see them. They just hate us for our freedom.
Nelly Mackay with a Zombie from her new album, Obligatory Villagers. It's a jungle out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness. I haven't heard that much roaring since I was under the cover playing with, kids. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You got it.
Well, I think it sums up America right now.
Zombies? Who's the zombie? What's the zombie pool?
Oh, we're all zombies. We're all how do you escape it? You get affected one way or the other. Man, I mean, you know, if I'm ever in the beauty parlor, which, you know, I try to do seldom, but, I'm always defacing those magazines. But even as I'm defacing those magazines, I'm probably seeping in there.
Madonna, you mean? That kind who you've gone after for exploiting sex? Or who do you deface?
Oh,
Old
no,
Navy
no.
commercials you don't like, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Old Navy. Well, I don't have a TV, but, I don't know. I mean, Madonna's got her thing, you know. For instance, the fur, you know, and so, you know, you make some reference to the fact that a majority of fur now comes from China, where, of course, human protection laws are virtually non-existent, and so the animals have just an atrocious time there, and you know, you deface and defile, you know, any copy of Cosmo basically is ripe for all kinds of feminist observation to be made with your black magic marker.
Nellie Mackay, who once described herself as an angry teenage Albert Schweitzer, and still on your own beam there, got the black magic marker in hand. Nellie Mackay, it's been, it's been a journey not quite like any other I've had in a while. And we appreciate your being with us today. It's just been great.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Thank you so much.
Nellie Mackay, you can get her upcoming tour schedule, and she's in a lot of cities where we air, in Seattle and Austin and Northampton, Massachusetts, Austin, Texas. You can find her at NellieMackay.com. It's NCKAY, NellieMackay.com, or link at OnPointRadio.org, our link. Nellie at the Carnegie.
Yeah, or you could just skip the middleman and you could go to stopcolumbia.org or vegetarianstarterkit.com.
Albert Schweitzer's got the fist up. Nellie, thanks for being with us. Wonderful to have you today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You can continue the conversation, listeners, at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Disco, you have lost your way. The piece they were planning died in San Francisco, floating on the bay. Just close your eyes and pray.
Then stand up straight and testify. Raise your hands up to the sky. Clouds are coming closer, but don't you cry, because you ain't got time. Just keep on striving. Testify and testify. Raise your hands up to the sky. Clouds are coming closer, but don't you cry, because you ain't got time. Just keep on striving. Testify and testify. Raise your hands.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.